Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Well, hello. If I sound out of breath, by the way, it's because I've literally just ran back from a mate date. It sounds like really weird to say, but I genuinely just met up with someone purely on the basis that I need to get some friends in my new area. And I found a mum friend, potentially. I've run back. I'm slightly out of breath, but I'm also very excited about today's guest, and I know you will be too. He has honestly got me through some really dark times on my TV screen. We've obviously had lockdown, my pregnancy in lockdown. He's on Celebrity Gogglebox. Honestly, that show just like saved me. And this person, alongside his friend Mo Gilligan, are two of the funniest people. And that is one show that I actually bit that I'm not a part of. If anyone ever is listening, I would love to do that show. But anyway, he is an actor. He's a writer. He's one of the most exciting rising stars in comedy. It's Babatunde Adeleshe.
Hey, thank you very much.
I mean, I know that we're not here to talk about Celebrity Gogglebox, because obviously, like, your arguably most important role is your role as a dad, and I can't wait to delve into that, especially because I did a podcast episode with my partner. God, I never know what to say, because we're not married. It's easy to say husband, we lie when we're out. Because then it just, like, it's so much easier. But boyfriend feels a bit like young or weird when you've got a kid, doesn't it? So anyway, we did a podcast episode together, and I know lots of men listen to it. I know lots of females like getting the male perspective, and I actually found it really interesting, because I think when you're a new parent and speaking as a mum, you kind of like are going through all the changes that you're going through, that you forget that dads are also going through this huge life change and all the relationship changes. And it's interesting to hear about the perspective from the other side.
Yeah. There are lots of changes that we'll delve into, but yeah, I've had to look myself in the mirror a few times.
Your son is 5 years old. So I've never had a 5 year old yet. And I feel like when children are ahead, it's all still a bit of a mystery, but is he old enough to watch Fox?
Some episodes. I took him to one of my mate's house because it was one of my friend's son's birthday parties. And instead of playing out in the bouncy castle, my son made his way to the living room, got hold of their remote control, and went on all four, and then put on Celebrity Gogglebox and was just like, look, my dad's on TV. So he's well aware of what I do.
That is so funny. I feel like he's just like your hype man.
But he's more of a fan of Mo than he is of me, because he loves the Martinger. So every time he sees it, he's just like, Mo, Mo, Mo. And he's just like, can we call Mo? And I'm just like, no, we're not going to bug Mo. But he likes to call Mo and, you know, to say hello and then run away. He's still shy. But yeah, he's a massive Mo fan.
Is it weird to now be such a recognizable face to go to like the school gates? Or have you just noticed that people are like...
To be honest, people, where I live, people notice, they know who I am. And they, they notice like, oh, he's the guy from TV. But no one has, only a few people come up to me and, you know, actually make reference to what I do and the fact that I'm on Gogglebox and other little bits of TV that I've done. But where I shop, where there's like a little kind of like, I'd say like a little shopping center where I go, all the shopkeepers there, they always hounding me about every single program they saw me on. So that's nice. But from at school, at the school gates, none of the parents bug me.
I find it so interesting because I haven't done like the school side of it yet. But I do want to like rewind all the way back to pregnancy. Because you know what? It's interesting. I was talking to my fake husband last night. We just need a word. We need a word.
Partners is good enough. Partners is great.
I feel like partner is kind of the word you use when you're like in your 70s and you find love again.
But is there a reason why you guys are not married, or is it just not happened?
So, I mean, to be honest, we reconnected. We knew each other a long time ago, and we reconnected on the good old Hinge app.
Yeah.
First of December, we went on a date, and then things just went really quickly. So the first reason would be that we didn't have time. Yeah. 3 months later, it was lockdown, which is actually how we moved in. So we weren't planning on rushing things. We certainly weren't planning on a family. And interestingly, he really, kids always made that really clear. And I was the one that actually didn't really envision a life. I wasn't ever against kids, but I was always a bit like, when I was younger, I always said, oh, when I'm older, I'll have kids. When I'm older. And now I'm 34. And I was like, yeah, when I'm older, I'll have kids.
You're there now, innit?
You're going to like TikTok if you... So it was only when Boris did the announcement, actually, we locked down together or not. And then, so yeah, the main reason that we haven't got married is like the timing of it all. And then the second one is like, I don't know, I've really dreamt of marriage. I think he's so more, and I said to him, like, if it's really important to you, I will. And he was like, wow, well, when you put it like that.
I mean, it's neither here nor there nowadays. It's not like back in the days where it's like, oh no, you must get married. I think nowadays, it's so long as you have that, the same connection and, you know, the same commitment, it is what it is, you know what I mean?
You are married, I presume.
Yeah, I'm married. Yeah. 6 years now.
Wow. 6 years.
Yeah. And 6 years.
Were babies on the cards?
Yeah, it was planned. We made our plans very clear to each other what we wanted going forward when we started dating. And luckily, she was on the same page as me. I was just like, because I was 26. And I was just like, look, I'm about to be 30 very, very soon. So, you know, I'm trying to speed things up. You know what I'm saying? And she was just like, yeah, she's on the same page. So I was just like, good.
Funny that we all have that 30 in our heads.
I know, right? Yeah. Like, it's so old, and it's not old at all. Yeah. Made our attention was very clear, got married. And then within the first year, bam, you know, she was pregnant. We had our son, and yeah, life has changed.
Did you notice like a big change in the dynamics of your relationship?
So all of that going out and enjoying yourself and, you know, like me and my wife used to do, that was all out the window. Because it's so strange leaving the house as a pair, even though she was pregnant, and then coming home with a child. It was so strange because it's just like, okay, there's another person here now, you know, that we have to take care of. And that blew my mind for like the first month. Like, I couldn't believe that we left us to go to the hospital as two people came back with this person who we don't know, but are responsible for, you know what I'm saying? And we got to get to know this child. And it wasn't tough. It was just adjustment. But now I think we feel the effects of it, because even the other day, my wife was just like, hey, you know, we don't really go out as much as we used to, because me and we love being outdoors. We love it. We love going randomly. We'll just be like, let's just go have dinner here, and let's go here, let's go there. And all of that stops once you have a child, all of that out the window, unless you're rich and you can afford a nanny, all of that out the window. You know what I mean?
No, it's so funny because we have feel like we, now that we've got Alpha's one, we're just starting to be able to get our life back. Tommy's mum's actually staying at the moment, so we went on our second date since the album and last night. And so I was really hoping that you're going to say, now we're at this age, you really start to get your life back.
You do. I mean, he goes to his aunties, he goes to his grandma's, and like we've got our life back, but it's nowhere near the same. Nowhere near the same. Like, just like you've always got your child at the back of your mind. Like, even on our anniversary, we stayed at our hotel. We basically spent the whole night on FaceTime with our son. It's just like you end up missing them. They end up missing you. And they're just like, oh, I really want to speak to mommy and daddy. And then it's just like, you can't even enjoy like your anniversary. You've got to entertain your child. But I love it. I love every aspect of parenting and, you know, being with my wife and things. I absolutely, as much as I complain, I love it deep inside.
We're parents. We're allowed to complain. When you left the house as a 2 and you came back as a 3, I find it fascinating to know from the other parents' perspective, what is it like to go through childbirth?
Okay. Now, because I watched the whole, I looked.
I didn't realize this is a thing that you, like, some people just don't
know. Yeah, I looked because some the nurses were telling me that a lot of men faint when they see what's going on. I didn't faint. I actually, number one, I was high off the gas.
Yeah, the hospital gas. Love, I need that.
Yeah, I was high. I was high. Me and my wife, we shared the gas. So I was just like, I want some as well. Like, you're not just going to be the only one up here. So so I had the gas as well. So I was, my head was gone. But I keep saying this to people. For me, it was one of the most beautiful things I've ever witnessed. Seeing a child come out. And it don't get it twisted. It's not the prettiest thing, but there's a beauty to it. I don't know how to explain it, but seeing your wife push a baby out, I was just like, wow, that's amazing. Like, that is amazing how women's bodies can do that. It's crazy. I could never think of doing that.
Did she have like a good or straightforward birth?
It was a bit complicated. It was 2 weeks late. So they had to induce her 3 times. He was not trying to come out. He was very comfortable in my wife's belly. And so it was complicated for that reason. But in terms of giving birth, no, it was straightforward. It was what they call a natural birth. And yeah, he was 8.5 pounds.
Oh, 8.5. Alf was 9.5. So yeah, big.
Jesus.
Babies. Yeah, because I always think it must be like a strange feeling or strange witnessing someone through pain, because even when it's a beautiful experience, it's still obviously a painful experience to whatever degree. And I guess,
yeah,
when I gave birth, for example, like, yeah, of course I was worried about, that was like the main thing on mine, but I was also like distracted by the pain. But what is it like as the other partner, kind of, I guess, worrying about the wife, but also worrying about the baby?
For me, I remember my wife had a huge contraction and I was holding her hand and I didn't know what else to say. So I said to her, I said, okay, you felt that pain, right? She was like, yeah. I was just like, okay, now you know what this is. I mean, it's not going to get no worse or better from, like, you know, from here. You got to stick it out. And I know you can do it. So just, you know, just try your hardest. Just, you know, listen to the nurses. And I'm here. I'm just here. And I just held her hand. And that's literally all I could say. I didn't know what else to say because, like, just watching her going through that pain. And then it's weird because once the child came out, it's like, she didn't even remember the pain at all. And it still blows my mind to this day. Still blows my mind to this day how women can just go through all of that and then they see their child and then she was just weeping, going, oh my God, he's so perfect. And I was just like, you don't remember that pain that you just went through? You were calling me all types of names and stuff. So, yeah.
You know what? It's so mad because I feel like I didn't have that, like, experience to the point that I was actually worried at first, because I remember being so... I just wanted him to be healthy and I just wanted him to come out okay because his heart rate kept dropping. So I remember just being really relieved that he was here and alive and healthy.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel that like rush of love like at first. And I was waiting because everyone says the moment you get your child on your chest, like it's all worth it, it's all worth it. And I remember like looking at him, feeling like, you know, thank goodness that he's here and he's healthy. But I remember being like, all right. I feel like, you know, when I just had Snoop, people were like, honestly, you think you know love, but you don't until you have a child. And I remember just really thinking like, I can't wait to go home and see my dog, which sounds awful. And yeah. I remember saying to Tommy, do you love him? Like, do you feel like love? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, I don't know. And I remember then I remember thinking, like, what's the situation down there? Like, I remember going to the midwife, like, am I all right? Like, do I need stitches? But I don't know, it took me a while. And then, like you said, you left as a three. I just remember going home and going, like, hello, you live here now. Like,
your house. You want anything, yeah. Just call, you know where I'm at. No, I have heard about that. I've heard about, I don't know the name for it, but I've heard about sometimes mothers may not feel that attachment straight away. For me and my wife, I felt it straight away, but I think that's because I've always wanted to be a dad. I've always wanted that. I've always wanted to be a husband. I've always wanted to be a father. So that love there, the minute he was here, I don't know about now. Like, now that he's five and he can talk, I don't know, man. We might have to negotiate that love stuff. I like him, but, you know, I'm kind of over it. You know what I mean? But he's, straight
you
away.
You say that, but then you just told me that you go when you end up FaceTime.
That's the truth. Like, I can complain about my son all week, and then the minute he goes to his grandma for like a day, I'm like, I want my son back. I just want to see him and give him hugs. And then by the time he gets here again, I'm just like, oh my gosh, I can't wait for him to leave again. Because he's just a nightmare now, you know what I mean? But he just bullies me.
That is like the mad paradox of parenting, isn't it?
Oh my God, yes. I go in and I check if my son is breathing. My wife is always me from going into his bedroom and giving him kisses, because she's just like, you're going to wake him up, he's sleeping. But I just can't help myself, man. I love it.
Did you discuss like your roles and your jobs with each other before your son came along? Or basically, because of this, like the term hands on dad, it always kind of like jars me a little bit, because you never have someone say like, oh, so nice, what hands on mum?
The type of dad I am, I am strict. I think that's based off of my upbringing. Well, my mum was a single parent. She, you know, she raised me by herself, Nigerian mum. And she was very strict. But that's given the environment we were living in, it was quite dangerous. So she had to be quite strict to keep me, you know, on the right path. And I feel like I've picked that up. So with my son, I'm learning a lot of patience. I'm learning that it's not about telling him what to do. You know, I've got to communicate. But yeah, for the first like 3 years, very strict, very, very strict.
And did you like consider yourself to be like a hands-on dad as much as I say, or did you want to be, how do you like kind of like split the roles?
I don't know. We've naturally kind of just fell into them. Yeah, because my son has a lot of respect for me in terms of just like, he knows, okay, dad doesn't mess about. And my wife naturally is the nurturer. That's not always the dynamics with like every man and woman, but we've kind of just naturally fallen into those roles. And my son knows who to go to for whatever he wants. Like, he knows that if me we're going to go for a walk, or we're going to, you know, go out to the playground or something like that, he knows, okay, I'm going to go with daddy, because daddy's going to keep all the bad people away. Cause I don't mess about. If I don't know you, don't touch my son. You know what I'm saying? But he knows that, hey, if it's time for, you know, if it's time to go to bed and have a story read to him, he wants his mum, because he knows his mum's going to give him hugs and kisses and sing him a song and all of that. Whereas I'm just like, all right, you've read your book, night's out, like, bye, night now. So I'm very straightforward, and my son has recognized that. He knows who's.
Is it like interesting for you? Just like when you said that you were raised by a single mom, and I actually did a whole episode on single moms last week, because I just think they're absolute superheroes. Is it interesting to you being raised by a single mom now being a dad? Like,
yeah, I had to definitely, and this is why I said I had to look myself in the mirror a few times, because I realized I didn't know anything about being a dad. I've not seen it being you know, being done, apart from like some of my friends who had fathers. So I really didn't know what I was doing at first. And I think that's where, when me and my wife have had conversations, it's always been a thing of, you need to be much more patient. You know, back, explain. You can't just be, you know, order here and order time. You know, I've got to really start communicating with him, and it's worked. You know, my son has always had huge love for me, but nowadays it's a thing where I think he just respects the fact that I'm trying, taking the time to not always get angry, you know, when he does something wrong. You know what I'm saying? Because I am a strict father. I'm in terms of just as a person, I'm very disciplined. So that carries, you know, throughout my whole life, with everything I do. So yeah.
Push Your Peak is a brand new podcast brought to you by Wattbike. Join me, Louise Minchin, and some of the world's most incredible sports people to learn what it takes mentally and physically to push yourself beyond your limits. Whether you're an elite or everyday athlete, it can be hard to continually progress. How do you push yourself out of your comfort zone? Where do you go to find that inner drive? Tune in to hear these inspiring stories and take away the belief that you can achieve your own goals no matter how big or small. You can find us wherever you got this podcast. Just search Push Your Peak.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
It's interesting because I feel like in like today's day and age, we hear the word like educate your, or the phrase educate your sons a lot. So, you know, like whenever there's like violence against women, male violence, whatever, everyone always says educate your sons. And I used to say it before I was a mum to a son. What does it mean, educate your sons? Like, how can we do our bit to educate our sons?
I think if we're going to educate our sons, we have to be the example. Me as a father, I have to show him how you tend to a woman, how you tend to a woman's needs. It's not always about, you know, trying to get into her pants. You've got to have love and respect for, you know, your behalf. And so if I show him that, he's able to emulate that in society when he grows up. But also it's about those conversations. When you see somebody make a mistake, because he's going to make mistakes early on. And that's, you know, that's what childhood and being a teenager is for. I don't think that you cancel them out. I think you actually sit them down and speak to them. But the issue is, you've got, with the whole, you know, educate your son, you've got a whole bunch of sons being raised by women who are not fathers, and the fathers are not in their child's life. And that's just the sad reality of it. So I think it's a great phrase, but I also always tell people, you know, to encourage them just to exercise a bit of forgiveness. Don't always just cancel people out. A lot of people really do not know what they're doing, you know, out here. But yeah, I'm definitely going to educate myself when it comes to how you conduct yourself around, you know, women and how you treat women. Yeah.
I feel like the last 2 years have been like mad in terms of like violence against women, but also all the like Black Lives Matter protests. And as a black man raising a black son, is that hard to navigate?
Yep, it is absolutely hard. Absolutely. We've had an incident. I've spoken about this before, but we had an incident at my son's school where a child just randomly, and I was with my son at the time, a child just randomly came up to him and said, "Oh, by the way, you're not allowed to come to my house because you're black and we don't allow black people in our house. And I was standing right there. Yeah, this was when he was four.
Wow.
And I was standing right there and what annoyed me about that the most is after, you know, the school dealt with it perfectly. They really, really dealt with it in such a great way. And I believe that the parents have been educated since that, you know, that whole incident.
Because I guess it obviously comes from parents, right?
I mean, that's
obviously
me and you know that, but at the beginning, the parents, I don't think they agreed with that, but you know, that is what it is. The issue was, I didn't want my son to deal with that so early on. And that's why we moved out of the city. We moved out of the city to the countryside and we were just like, okay, well, at least he'll get a chance at a better education. He won't have to do the thing that I dealt with as a child. Lo and behold, yeah, he may not have to deal with like gangs and things like that, but he has to deal with, you know, ignorance. And I was so upset. And so it is hard raising a child as a black man, but it's one that he is going to have to understand at some point. I just didn't want it to be that early, not when you're four.
It's mad and like depressing. I mean, obviously I'm a white person. I never have to experience that, but it shocks me actually that it happens still in this day and age.
I have to say this. I've traveled up and down, you know, this country, and I know for a fact that it is the small minority, you know, the majority of this country don't hold those values. And that's only because I've interacted with so much people up and down this country. So I do know that there's racism in this country. And I do know it's, you know, it goes from working class to middle class, all the way up to upper class and your aristocrats. However, you know, I've interacted with enough people to know that not everybody who's white hold those values. So it is a small minority, you know, even though it may be a lot of people, they're still a minority to the vast majority of us that don't hold those.
It's a small minority and we need to all keep fighting for change, really. But
absolutely.
How, if you don't mind me asking, like, how do you navigate those tough conversations? Because he's, like you said, he's four, he's now five. Like, he's a child. He shouldn't have to.
Yeah.
Like, how do you even deal with it?
I mean, he did have a lot of questions after that incident. He was just like, "Oh, daddy, what's black? What's white? What's this? What's that?" And from then, I just had to start educating him about, you know, the color of his skin, the differences, why were black people and why they're white people. And he doesn't understand anything I'm saying. He still doesn't understand. And that's the point. You're not supposed to. You know, but as he gets older, he will understand because, you know, I've always been a big book reader. So we've got books, you know, on African history and melanin and things like that. So he will be educated 100%. Plus he's got a lot of, so he's half Jamaican, half Nigerian. So a lot of his family used to be Rastas. So, you know, they're all into their African history. So he definitely will be educated on himself, but we know enough to know that it's not all white people. Plus, we have a lot of white people in our family as well. So, yeah.
How do you like navigate? Because funny enough, Alf literally has just gone and done his first little like trying it out day at the Child Minders, just so I can like get on with work, because I've just recently finished breastfeeding. So now he's able to like leave me for a few hours, which is amazing. But I actually said earlier, because it's his first time interacting with other babies, because we don't really know anyone else with babies, although a few of our friends are now starting to get pregnant, which is amazing. Yeah. But how do you have to deal, how do you deal with like bullying with kids? Like, because obviously in that situation, that was racism, but it's obviously like another kid that doesn't really know any better, hopefully.
Yeah.
Because like it must be hard, because I even joke, I'm like, if any of those kids pick on Alf, I'm gonna like beat them. But obviously I'm not gonna beat them. Like, what was your reaction to the little
boy? So to the little boy, I had no reaction to him, because I knew for a fact it was not him, that was not coming from him, because the way he repeated what he said, I could tell he was repeating something he had been told, because this was unrehearsed. My man he literally just came up to my son and just started saying what he said. But in terms of just bullying on a whole, okay, so no one troubles my son if they see me. They don't, because I really do make my presence known when I'm around my son. If we're soft play, if we go to the playground, wherever we go. So even if I see just an inkling of a child trying to intimidate my son, I'm right there and I make them know that, oh, okay, daddy's around, so let me leave this child alone. Now, when I wasn't there and my wife took my son to soft play, an incident happened where a child was trying to bully my son. And my wife had to step in, because my son is he's just very chilled. He just wants to play. He wants to interact with other children. And so my wife had to step in. So when it comes to bullying, if my son can't defend himself, we'll step in if we're there. When it comes to, you know, schooling, he goes to school where it's a no tolerance on bullying. They do not tolerate that. So teachers are always around to see how the children are interacting with each other. So he doesn't really have to deal with it too much, which is good.
It's like the scariest thing as a parent, isn't it? Because like, also, what if my child is the bully?
All right, now that's another story. We did have a story where my son pushed a child and I had to, you know, step in and say, look, you have to apologize, number one, to the child. And then I had to take, you know, I had to take the bullet and apologize to the parent, because I don't tolerate that as well. So, yeah, we don't tolerate it happening to our son, and we do not tolerate our son bullying other people, because, you know, even when he gets older, it's not good.
It's weird, isn't it? Because children are so innocent, but yet there is like, kids are savages.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they just come out with it. And, you know, going back to what you said earlier, like, usually it doesn't come from the kids. So whether that's, like, in your case, like, the racist remarks, or it could be, like fat, you know, like, there's a an appearance when you're children.
Things like that, yeah.
Because I did a podcast recently around body image. And I always think body image, when it's teenagers, especially now in like the generation of like watching shows like Love Island, and there's like, for men and women, there's that sort of like one kind of body type.
Right.
But it actually starts from as young as like three, because kids pick on each other, and I almost like forgot, because I guess we all gloss our childhoods a bit, but I was like, yeah, we used to.
Well, savage. Like, I mean,
yeah, you would pick over people for like loads of differences that, like, looking back, you're like, I guess all the things that is when you're an adult, you're celebrate, like, we like celebrate our differences and our quirkiness as adults, but when you're young, you just want to fit in, don't you?
And that is our worry at the moment. We have been worrying about the fact that, you know, he's only one of few black people at his school. Is that going to be, should we be concerned? But the fact is, I think we've put our trust in the teachers to do such a great job, and they're doing a fantastic in educating children on like differences of, you know, race and nationality. And yeah, so we can only trust those who we, you know, put our child into their hands, so we can only trust them.
I'd like to really like think and hope as well that as like diversity and inclusivity like increases on like TV and like, do you feel like the Black Lives Matter movement? I mean, I know it existed before George Floyd's murder, but I feel like that was like the catalyst of it becoming at least known in like
globally
the mass. I see now so much more like inclusivity on TV, and I grew up in an area that was a very white area up north. Definitely like wouldn't say that I was ever racist. I always knew the difference of right and wrong, but I own any other minority were always like the others because I was in such a white area. And it's so good even for me to think like people who are in these very white dominated areas or growing up seeing, you know, like even like Mo Gilligan having like a Saturday night show, and you have a podcast right about inclusivity.
Puffin with Puffin Books, Mission Imagination, and that's all about celebrating diverse voices, not just like race, but a lot of female authors. We're trying to champion voices, unheard voices. And so we've been blessed by Puffin Books. They've sent us, you know, a whole load of books by people of color and, you know, female authors. And so my son enjoys every single book that they, like his favorite book is one of the books that they gave us called Clean Up. And he just absolutely loves it. And that's led by a black, the character is a black girl, black female. So yeah, that's been a blessing unto us. But in terms of on TV and stuff, I think now with the internet and obviously with, you know, people like Mo Gilligan, there's so much black, and myself, but there's so much voices now. I don't feel like anyone can feel left out because, you know, we're living in such a great time where everybody, if you've got a disability, if, you know, if you're plus size, if you're black, if you're female, even just white, you know, if you're white, like we champion everybody, and it's such a great time to live in. And I'm kind of envious my son gets to live in such a time where everybody's just being celebrated. Because like you said, it weren't like that when I was growing up, you know, and I lived in Tottenham. I grew up in Tottenham. So to see a white person was rare. You know what I'm saying? We used to be like, oh, where are you from? Like, because we thought we were going to hear something foreign. And if you heard someone say they're English, you'd be like, oh, so you're actually from here. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was rare to meet someone from England growing up because everybody was just segregated. You know, like, you know, this was a black community, this was a white community, and the two didn't mix.
It's interesting as well, like saying about inclusivity in books, because I realised like the other day, so I love, what are they called? Like small people. Do you know the story? There's like, and the little stories, it's for children and it basically tells you about these people. And I love them because they also look really nice on bookshelves. And I realised the other day when I was walking past Waterstones, there's one I saw, I think it was like Dolly Parton. And I was like, oh, I'd like to get that one. But I thought something along the lines of, I can't wait to have a girl so that I can buy her that book. And then I was like, why am I not buying my son like books with female characters? Like, I call myself a feminist. And so, and like, and I do like, you know, I want Alf to grow up if he wants to be like sensitive, whatever it is. I don't want to like instill, I just want him to be whoever he wants to be, like regardless of like what character trait that is. And then I was like, why am I not? So I like went in to buy the Dolly Parton book because of course I wanted to know about like strong female.
That you raise a good point.
But yeah.
You raise a good point because we've got, my wife found these books from, I believe it's called Good Book Company, and it's Christian books. It's Bible characters and basically short, just like an overview of like, you know, some of the patriarchs in the Bible. So his favorite one from that collection is the story of Moses, but all the characters are black. And so I thought that was cool, even though that may or may not be accurate. I just thought it was cool just to like have him have a book that he's seeing people that look like him. So my son doesn't miss out, even though he goes to a white majority school. He doesn't miss out, and we don't see that as a problem. But we do obviously encourage and have encouraged the school. You may need to bring more black people in because it's like, you know, it's not that much. You know, don't want him to stand out and notice that he stands out, because you know what's going to happen. The minute they start getting older, they're going to start pointing out each other's differences. And that's when insecurities and all of those type of things come in. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, inclusivity and diversity is, like you said, it's just so important.
It is.
In all aspects. Yeah.
It's going to take a long time for us to get there, but I'm glad whatever's happening nowadays, I'm just glad it's happening, because it seems like human beings are finally on the right track. You know what I'm saying? Like, we finally got our stuff together and we're trying to do something good.
And every week I always read a message out from one of you guys, my lovely listeners. So this one is from Pamela, who actually sent us a voice note. It's the first voice note that we've had.
Hi, Ashley. My name is Pamela Higgins, Spamla B on Instagram. And I have followed your Instagram for a long time and listened to your podcast religiously, which is amazing. I absolutely love it. And I just thought, why not send a voice note in? I've just been listening to your latest episode. I like walking my own baby. He is called Oliver. He is 10 months, so not far behind Alf. And I've also got a 4-year-old boy called Thomas, who's currently at school. So I go out on my daily walks every day while Oliver sleeps. I just want to say how much I adore your journey, your openness, your honesty, everything that you share, the ups and downs, like with everything being a woman, being a mum. I think it's so inspirational. And yeah, I just want to say, like, thanks. And it's interesting, obviously, I've been a mum before and going through this kind of baby phase. I feel like I've gone through very, very, very similar things at a very similar time, especially the breastfeeding and the biting. So I made the decision only about 3 weeks ago after many biting attempts on feeding, which was, oh God, as you know and spoke about, it's just awful and really emotional. But I was expressing and he's taking the bottle, and I was aiming to do it until he was one anyway. And yes, I've closed that chapter and I feel, like you said, a bit more liberated, a bit more free, kind of getting my life back and my identity back. So thank you for talking about that as well. Just keep up the amazing work. Absolutely love following you, and I'll try and share your podcast to all my other friends that I've got. So yeah, anyway, take care, and yeah, I look forward to the next episode. Thanks, Ashley. Bye.
Thank you so much for that. And if you do want to get in touch, of course you can leave a voice note. The number is, God, I would honestly be a terrible TV host that does the numbers, because I'm a little bit dyslexic, so I'm going to try and read it. It's 075-999-27537. Can you tell me, before I let you go, in a nutshell, what have I got to look forward to between the 1 year of age and the 5 year of age? What do I have to prepare myself for?
What do you have to prepare yourself for? The talking back when they start talking. The running away, bullying. They bully you. My son bullies me now. he really does. Like, I'll just be sitting down, minding my business. This boy will charge and just jump on me. The bullying, and then the playing each parent against each other. They know.
Wow, as young as
they
that.
Start learning how to do that. Oh yeah, my son. Oh, if I tell him no, he goes right up to, you know, his mom with the sad face and the sad voice. And then once she says yes, it becomes a problem between me and her. And so he knows that now. And they're smarter than you think. You will know who the personality comes from. My son is me. And I can't stand me. So I know I must be annoying, because when my son starts to, and I'm just like, gosh, is this what I was really like? So, you're going to know exactly who your son takes after. That's what you got to look forward to.
Yeah. I'm going to let you go. Look at that. Bang on the time that you need to go.
Bang on time. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for having me. And I just want to say, you are an incredible host. This is an incredible podcast. You're doing so well. Keep it up. And yeah, this is great for mums and dads to listen to. So well
done.
Thank
you so much. And thank you for all the lols and the future lols I know that will be coming.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.